sunny Thursday. Okay, so we have a really fun program for you guys today. But we need to start out with a very, very special person's 39th birthday.
That's right.
Shout out to Grant's mom. Let's play In the Club for Victoria. There you go, girl. You know, you don't hear anyone being named Vicky anymore.
Yeah.
That was my grandma's name. Victoria.
Yes.
Yeah.
Vicky Lawrence.
Yeah.
Victoria.
No, it's a lovely
Wainstrom.
It's a lovely name from another time. I think it might come back in vogue.
Totally.
Like Emma's been back in vogue. What about Victoria?
Harriet.
Mabel.
Barbara.
Mabel.
I do too. That's a cute name.
But my grandma was a Victoria, and her sisters were like Gwendolyn. They all had these.
Oh, my grandma was Gwendolyn.
Gwendolyn.
Yeah.
We called her we called her Grandma Lulu for some reason. Grant, do you do anything special for your mom, or does your dad?
I know. Well, their special thing is they're going to get a couple decorations for their new condo today. That's kind of her little shopping thing that wants to go do. But we always try to go. There's this little Mexican spot right in Long Lake that we go to every year for her birthday. And we'll probably do that on Sunday just because of timing. I can't get out there today.
Really? Yeah. Really?
You know,
she should celebrate her birthday for
today?
Several days.
Lori's theory is do it for a month.
Oh, yeah. Do it for a month and kid, milk it for
I mean,
a month.
You really, at one point she had a full month of music and everything. Oh, yeah. I mean, Lori, you go hard on your birthday. You go big.
It's the happiest month of the year, July.
That's true.
There's so much going
on. Midsummer, 4th of July week, yeah.
July babies can't help it. We can't help it.
Is that it? You can't help it that you're so happy?
Yeah, we can't help it that we got the happy birthday month of
And August just must be a buzzkill.
Yeah,
well,
it's too hot.
No, August is fine, too, because it means you probably didn't have to go to school on your birthday. I mean,
never,
that was the main
but
thing
But I never
about
got to have a birthday party.
A summer birthday is you didn't have to go to school on your damn
there
birthday.
There you go.
Yeah, that's true.
And Gran is our Libra.
Yeah, so I'm an October birthday, so I always had to go to school on my birthday, work on my birthday, but you know what? That's okay.
You brought treats. I've worked on my birthday since I can remember.
Yeah. That's true. I got to bring treats. But thank you for letting us give my mom a nice shout-out on her 39th birthday. That was great.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. And then we have, you know, Nicki Minaj tickets still that we're giving away today and tomorrow, and we're going to be doing that later in our show. We're going to play...
Are we making it harder today?
A little bit. Yesterday, okay. Grant, in your absence, we kept things simple.
Yeah.
Just did a little call in?
Yeah, we just did a little call in. It'll be a little different today.
Nice. I'm excited for what we got.
For your ticket today.
You work hard for your money. Not that hard.
No.
And that concert is going to be at the Target Center on Saturday, October 27th. I think that's a weekend after this weekend.
You know, Tim McGraw is here this weekend.
Wow.
Where?
At the Excel.
I love him.
Oh, we saw him at the fair 2 years ago.
I know
ago
it.
And we
Is he really?
To...
Why haven't we been invited?
Well, we had the opportunity to buy tickets and we decided not to because we just seen him.
We did. We only have 2.5 months left.
Hey. The countdown is real.
I know.
He's going to be here on 420 Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. That's a good show.
Yeah.
But you know what? We saw the best show because that summer. You went to the 2 years? Oh, it was hot that day.
It was longer. It was like 4 years ago, you guys, I think.
Was it four?
Because Paul McCartney, no, he was there. I think it was a while ago because I remember Sonia sent me a picture of him in his white jeans, did you, Lori.
Yeah, he has no shirt on, white jeans.
Both of you sent me the picture or something, and you're both like, oh, he's dreamy.
Dazzled.
Oh, yeah.
It was a while ago, wasn't it?
2021.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, there you go. Yep.
Summer of 2021.
That was a good time.
Because he was going to play 2020.
Yeah.
And we bought tickets, and then he didn't, of course, there wasn't a fair, so then it was pushed back. Oh, my friend... Jackie and I went with my country cuties.
Your country cuties.
I'm going to Blake Shelton.
Whoa!
I know.
I'm going to Blake Shelton with my country cutie friends.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he puts on a show, so that shouldn't be too much of a bad time.
I've never seen him, and I had two girlfriends.
We did
who were
too
just
see him.
Blake Shelton.
We saw him at the XL. No, not Blake Shelton. We saw Gwen Stefani. No, we saw one of those.
We saw Gwen Stefani and it was very sad because there were like 5,000 people there.
That was when we saw her, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey. That's a low number.
All right.
Anyway,
speaking
of music, the music world has lost a guitar legend today. His family announced, put a statement on Instagram. It's with profound sadness and heavy hearts that the Betts family announced the peaceful passing of Forrest Richard Dickey Betts, who died at the age of 80. And of course, guitar legend, godfather of Southern rock, one of the founding members
name,
of the
Dickie
Allman
Betts.
Brothers
yes.
band. And their first album was Eat a Peach in 1972.
Ride a Cowboy.
Yeah, Eat a Peach, Ride a Cowboy. But he was... you know, the Allman Brothers, they're the soundtrack of the 70s that you couldn't, everywhere, they were just so prolific. And he was quite a hell of a guitar player. And, you know, the Allman Brothers don't get, they get more like, oh, you know, Dwayne, you know, died young and Greg Allman. But, like, they were really a force of a rock band. And they were also one of the first rock bands that was, you know, they had a black drummer. They had two drummers.
Oh.
And we had Jimo now as the only surviving member. But okay. all they wanted to do was just play great music. And Dickie Betts wrote Rambling Man. And he did an interview with the Wall Street Journal. And he was asked about writing Rambling Man, which epic song. He said, in 1969, my friend Kenny asked me, how are you doing with your music? Because, you know, that's always the thing when people, I'm going to be in a band.
Sure,
people,
sure.
And he said, I bet you're just trying to make a living and doing the best you can.
Oh.
And
wow.
he said, I liked how that sounded. Wow. And I carried the line around in my head for about 3 years. And
that's fun.
You know, and then lots of...
Trying to make a living and doing the best. That's a good song. We all liked it. We all played it.
And he was just like, whenever you hear a Dickie Betts guitar solo, it just, it's so blues. It's also jazzy. I mean, he was just really amazing guitarist.
Have you seen the Allman Brothers in concert?
I saw them. I feel like I saw them at the State Fair with... an iteration, but I don't know. I have to ask Casey.
You would have seen it with Casey? Or Casey would have gone.
They were
and you
at the State Fair.
That's
yeah.
what
yeah.
I thought. Then I think that is where I did see
we
them.
We have seen so many people via our great Minnesota get together.
Yeah. And you know, Dickie Betts was going to sell that Ramblin' Man song to, like, he went to Nashville to sell it to some country.
And he ended up doing it on
yeah,
his own
because
no one wanted it or something?
No, he just... He just, you know, they realized they could
make it on their own.
Make it on their own. But
now,
like,
wasn't it, now you're talking about the Allman Brothers?
Yeah,
Allman Brothers band.
Wasn't Cher's husband
Greg Allman?
Yeah,
yeah, Greg Allman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they.
Okay.
Yeah, is it coming together for
it's,
you?
Well, it's coming together that she married an Allman brother, and their son, Cher's son with Greg Allman, looks exactly like his dad.
Yeah, so in 69, Dickie Betts meets this dude named Barry Oakley, and they join members of two other bands, which was guitarist Dwayne Allman and his keyboard-playing brother Greg. They were all in three different bands, and they came together... And they decided they were going to have two lead guitarists, which hadn't really
been done before.
And so they, when Dwayne died in 1971 in the motorcycle accident, that thrust Betts into a more prominent role as the songwriter and sometimes lead vocalist. So he wrote Crazy Love, Straight from the Heart. Of course, there's Midnight Rambler, Blue Sky, and rock journalist turned filmmaker Cameron Crowe said he based the character played by Billy Crudup in his rock-themed movie
Almost Famous
on Dickie Betts.
That's cool.
He goes, Crudup's look and much more is a tribute to Dickie. Dickie seemed like a quiet guy with a huge amount of soul, possible danger, and playful recklessness behind his eyes. He was just a huge presence.
Wow.
And, of course, Allman Brothers, they were inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1995.
Well, we'll see what Greg Allman has to say about this.
Well, you know, I don't know if he's that. He's kind of Greg Allman is dead too. By the way,
did he die? Did he die?
That's where the
did
money.
Did I not yeah. just say Jimo was the last surviving?
Yeah. Well, I know
drummer.
You did, but
that's
I
where the
had
whole
put
money.
It together.
Remember,
yeah.
that's where like the whole thing with his with Cher's son right now is he wants the money
yeah.
from
Got
his
it.
Father.
So you can wonder what he's going to say all day long.
He's going to talk to us.
From
Mercury
above.
In
retrograde. It's happening.
I'm contacted by a lot of people. Teresa Koopa is going to be calling. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Lori and Julia here for Tressler Law. And Lori and I, together, we've been through 3 divorces, and we've been doing ads with Ann Tressler for some time now. So there are a lot of things that we've learned over the years about the divorce process.
That's right, Julia. And probably the biggest decision you'll make after the big decision to split, of course, is choosing the right divorce attorney. Don't make the same mistakes I made.
Step 1 is choosing an attorney who only practices family law. There are so many intricacies in state law when it comes to divorce, and you want someone on your side that knows how to navigate all the possible scenarios.
Don't choose an attorney who only tells you what you want to hear. You want someone to tell you how the law works and helps you set realistic goals.
And of course, choose a divorce attorney that you're comfortable working with and that you trust. We've gotten to know Ann and her team of trustworthy attorneys, and she'll help you find the perfect one for your situation and budget.
Call Tressler Law for your free 1-hour divorce consultation. Find them online at TresslerLaw.com or use my talk keyword divorce.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
All right, the Swifties are going crazy.
They're losing their minds.
Britney's last quote when she left about 40 minutes ago is, I got to go home and plan my outfit to come to work tomorrow. My Taylor Swift themed outfit to come to work.
Yeah, we had a debate in the cafeteria today if she should get up at midnight to listen to the songs. And I said, I think you're fine to wake up in the morning and don't log on to anything and just listen to your music and be fresh for the lowdown and the download that we're going to get for you for New Music Friday.
Yeah, she's going to be our correspondent tomorrow.
Well, our correspondent, Will Reeve at GMA, they had a little report because the clock is ticking down as Swifties try to crack, you know, all the eggs. Here we go.
The countdown is on for Taylor Swift's new album, and Swifties everywhere are in a frenzy.
What does the two mean? I need to know right now. I'm tired of these games, sister. Please tell us.
And in true Taylor fashion, Easter eggs abound. The megastar dropping clues about Friday's tortured poets department.
Half of TikTok right now is Taylor Swift fans just dissecting every little frame of every little video.
The album drops at midnight, and Swifties are ready for it, not with a whimper, but with a bang, swarming this pop-up in Los Angeles, serving those who stand in wait with plenty of tea. How many clues? Let us count the ways.
We got new lyrics. It says, even statues crumble if they're made to wait. Then there's the cabinet drawer wall that has 6 open drawers. All the clocks point to 2 o'clock. Are we getting another surprise 2 a.m. drop, Taylor?
And hark, a QR code. Footage from our Chicago station WLS showing this billboard going up in the Windy City. Scan it, and it takes you to a peculiar error page. And Taylor chiming in herself on Instagram, posting a video going from the set of her previous Midnights album to the new one with another clue. The first music video set to drop tomorrow night.
Taylor's always been hiding little hints for her fans as she's really plotted out the strategies for these past few albums, Midnights and especially this one.
Welcome to the Eras Tour.
Do not go gentle into that good night, Swifties. Rage against the dying of the light because you got to stay up. At midnight, the tortured poets department comes out. Surely we will have unanimous close analysis of it all by daybreak.
We have got to give a slow clap to you, Reeve.
He did a nice job on that. But literally,
that's Dylan Thomas that he's quoting. Oh. The do not go gentle into the good night. That's a Dylan Thomas poem. So that's what he was.
Ah, I didn't catch that.
Yeah. Nice. Do not go gentle. Sometimes you'll hear it at funerals or it'll be in a funeral program at the end of a.
What are we going to do without all your little insights?
You're going to guide us everywhere. I know.
Here's some of what's going on at Line. Like, people are going to be, what's going to happen tomorrow when the, who else is going to be absolutely intolerable tomorrow when the Taylor Swift album drops? I mean, people, if you get up at the middle of the night, I'd be so tired. Good advice to tell Brittany to sleep in.
Yeah, I just told her to sleep
child.
In. Well, here's some of the 13 questions to maybe we have about this album, the Tortured Poets Department, which, such a long title.
Doesn't matter.
It's her.
But why is it called that? The album is the reference to the Tortured Man Club, which is the name of a group chat that Joe Alwyn, Paul Mescal, and Andrew Scott had. And Joe Alwyn revealed that in a British GQ interview.
Oh, okay. All right.
He said, that's our text. That's our chain. That's our chain. That's what we call it, the Tortured Man Club. So that's terrible. Swift comes in. They date for 6 years. And anyway, so Joe was the tortured man and she's the tortured poet. I don't know. That's a grammatical gray area. We'll have to wait for the songs. Is this a full-on breakup album? Yes, it's a breakup album, but there may be a song.
Oh, I hope.
That we get that's about Travis.
I hope.
Okay.
Some of the songs are a reference to Matt Healy.
The
1975 guy who she dated.
For less than a month.
And dissed Ice Spice, that whole controversy.
Yeah, but he was always going into Electric Lady Studio with her. So there's this some reference, Daddy, I Love Him, kind of a thing where, because her fans were writing her open letters to stop dating him. So there's a song maybe to that. And
I've got something.
What?
Well, you know, the very first song that's going to drop is Fortnite. And that's featuring Post Malone. And he is one of only two collaborators singing on the Taylor Swift new album. It's going to be, she's going to have Fortnite. It's going to drop. The video is going to drop at 8 o'clock on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
The song is going to be the first single that drops tonight. And Post is so excited, but the second one is called Florida, and it features Florence Welch and The Machine.
I like that.
That's so cool. Those are the only two collabs that she has on it.
I mean, is anyone having a better 2024 than Post Cologne? He collabs. Post Cologne. What I call him? Post Cologne. I like that.
Post has had such
Beyonce. He Elvis. Did the Elvis thing. He's on Taylor Swift. He's the got featured album.
He's got a sandwich shop, or what's the place name?
Well, I don't think
Utah.
That's a highlight.
Yeah. He's lost weight.
You're right.
He fell through the stage a couple times. Yeah, unfortunately,
we saw him. He didn't do it here. We went and saw him. He is.
I mean, he nearly saved the J-Lo movie, from what I understand.
He was great in that. He was actually his acting. And his acting in, I think it was in Roadhouse, I believe. Mm. He did a little bit in Roadhouse. And he was.
Post is the bomb.
He's universal. I like him.
And he had a baby, you know, that's probably a year and a half now, and that's kind of changed.
Drake should be writing a diss track any day about him now.
Drake
I love Post.
Anyway, but I mean, that he's going to be on two of the albums.
Who's that First Avenue Laurie?
Yeah, I remember that.
Way back in the day, and I took my boys. Just one of them could come to Bozeman. He's like, Mom, I'm missing Post Malone at First Avenue.
Unbelievable.
Wow, that's a venue to see him. Man.
Yeah. And so according to Record and Radio Suits, this is the most...
Radio? What does your radio suit look like?
You know, someone who's in charge of playing the music. It's the most anticipated album.
In the world, ever?
That they've had in just for a very, very long time.
Based on the popularity of the Eras Tour, I would imagine that's definitely true, wouldn't you?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, she's on fire, and now she's about to light the whole world on fire even more.
And the track, The Alchemy, has references to touchdowns, teams, warming benches, trophies, and cheers.
It's going to be fun. Oh,
trophies and cheers. That could be Super Bowl, Taylor Swift and Travis.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that could be the one.
Here for Sweet Living Senior Care. They have over 18 communities in the Twin Cities area. Probably one is right in your neighborhood. And what we love about Sweet Living Senior Care is, you know, when you are looking for a place for your loved ones to go to have the next part of their life, that's a tough decision for your loved one, for the family members.
You want to find the right place that feels home.
You really do. And these Sweet Living Senior Care communities are just 32 suites. So they're smaller. They've got a higher staff to residence ratio. the residents there, you know, get involved in different activities. It starts with assisted living, then they have memory care and hospice care. And we just, this, it matters so much that you feel loved, that your loved ones are going to be loved in the place, and you'll get that at Sweet Living. Visit sweetlivingseniorcare.com to schedule your tour today. Okay, so two things. We got to give a shout out to Sarah, who said, I believe Taylor Swift's album releases at midnight Eastern time. Mm-hmm. Oh. So it's only 11 o'clock Central. Ooh. That was just a good catch. Yeah. Thank good catch. You.
Yeah.
And then I did some steps on a walk yesterday. It's a good workout. If you want to go this weekend and sign up for the big climb.
The big climb.
I mean, that's a really good workout.
Yeah. Your legs are going to be on fire.
If you can handle it, it's a really good one. Okay, so Rita Moreno, national treasure. She is 92. She sat down with Jennifer Hudson on the Jennifer Hudson Show today.
I didn't tape it today.
It's today. And she was talking about kind of, she was just went to the Oscars this year. And so she's talking a little bit about what that experience was like for her.
I said to my daughter, oh, look, there's Lenny Kravitz.
Oh.
Let's go say hello. She says, and she said,
what'd you say, Cha? How did that go?
And she said, do you know him? I said, no, but you know, it's a party, and he was all alone. So I went to him and I said, hello, I'm Rita Moreno. And at that point, you're not gonna believe this, he fell to the floor.
Whoa. Whoa.
And he got on his knees. Uh-huh. And he just went on and on and on and on about how much he's admired me all these years and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I nearly peed my britches.
I love that.
How did you keep your cool?
Oh, I didn't.
You didn't?
Keep my cool? Are you crazy? I just said, ooh, thank you. And I kept saying, really? Really? Because he kept telling me how since he was a young boy and all that, he loved me and all that kind of stuff. And I just kept looking at my daughter and saying,
ha! Yes!
But I was astonished.
Wow.
That was marvelous.
So she looked fabulous. We saw her, and this is when she went to Vanity Fair, and she said, well, here's her next thing, because Jennifer asked her, do you go to many of these?
How many Oscars have you been to?
About six. Something like that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
I mean, I go when I'm invited. What the hell?
Yeah, but like, you're the person that
am I going to sit up in the mezzanine? Hell no. I am Puerto Rican royalty, dear.
Yes, you are. Yes. Speaking of that, the first Latina to win an Oscar, and you won for West Side Story.
I did, and I did not expect to. I did not expect to. I just came from Manila, the Philippines, where I was making a World War II movie case this nomination turned into something.
Uh-huh.
I didn't think it would because I thought Judy Garland would win for a drama that she made. You know, Judy Garland in a drama, that's major.
Yes.
And I thought, well, I'll be in the same category. That makes me proud. I know I'm not going to win. She is. And it's crazy. They called my name. Rock Hudson called my name.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was sitting in back of me and hugged me. You can see it on YouTube.
Yes.
You can see my mom hugging me. It's so
aww.
Sweet. And I remember walking to the stage to accept it. And I remember saying, don't run. It's not dignified. And then I had no idea what I was going to say because I really didn't think I was going to win.
You didn't.
And it is now a famous shortest
it's like the shortest
of the Oscars speech.
Oscar speech ever, huh?
Yeah, it's something like, I don't believe it. And then 2 seconds later, I said, I leave that with you.
I leave that with you.
Yeah,
can
like
you imagine
that.
How much crap people would give her? I leave that with you.
I love it.
And she is, you know, she is just a treasure. And I was just kind of looking up her age. She's 92. Jane Fonda's 86. Lily Tomlin is 84. And Sally Field is 77.
And Carol Burnett is 90.
And Carol Burnett is 90. I mean, because Lori and I are kind of saying 84 seems like an age that stuff happens.
Yeah.
But look
at your mom.
She's 80. She's going to be 88.
Yeah. Look at that.
And she's got
all of her
marbles. So my mom's, moved into a place that offers different things.
She's on the independent side.
She's on the independent side with light stuff. So yeah. She does get some stuff. So she's venturing. I ventured to the other side.
Oh.
There's more people like me over there.
Oh. People that have had aphasia?
No.
Or have aphasia?
No, that are more with it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was hysterical. So we're talking about, she's so happy.
Aware
I mean, I'm telling you. Having security for your loved ones is a big darn deal.
Mm-hmm.
But Rita Moreno, she has worked in so many different movies. I mean, you can't even believe how many things she has done every year of her life. It just kind of blows you away.
Yeah, well, Carol Burnett is getting a Gracie, not the New York ceremony, but the L.A. At the Beverly Wilshire. She's getting... a Lifetime Achievement Award. Kind of hard to believe she hasn't gotten one already. But, they decided, we need to...
From radio.
Yeah. It's the... Well, it's women. It's in media. It's all media. But women in media. But they said she's a true icon. And it's like, she certainly is. Past Lifetime Gracie Award winners include Rita Moreno.
Okay.
Cicely Tyson, Jane Pauley, Marlo Thomas... and Linda Carter.
Mm. Oh, I love it.
Anyway, she's going to be there, and the presenters at the Beverly Wilshire.
Tell me who it is.
Selena Gomez, Gail King, Rachel Brosnahan, and Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, whoa.
I didn't have those kind of presenters when we went to the LA.
Just
we
ask
got
you
our
that.
Gracie.
Because remember, we were in the building offshoot, and they had the other Gracie party at the Beverly Hills Hotel. We stayed there, but we had to walk to ours.
Yeah,
it was around
yeah.
the corner.
Right.
We were never in the same
in
level.
In the TV. The TV runs. Yeah.
We were never at the same level, Lorene.
Anyway, but I'm glad.
Jason's are getting a Gracie this summer, but in the New York one.
Yeah, they go to New York. If they're going. I would
and
think
Hannah
so.
Seaman, also our big boss's daughter.
For her
she's
Broadway,
getting a great Gracie
Broadway
as well.
Podcast that she does for college. Absolutely.
That's unbelievable.
That's awesome.
I know it. All right. So, Taylor Swift. I mean, are you worried about what you're going to wear tomorrow, Lori? Are you going to dress like the Eras 1989? Maybe the red. Maybe we'll wear red lips.
No, I'm not.
Is Lily into this grant?
Not as much Taylor Swift. She's a B. Lily's a Beyonce.
Her
queen is the Beyonce.
Yeah.
So we were, when she was in town, we went to that concert, and this Cowboy Carter has been on at my house all the time. But it's amazing.
Tell me.
I'm not going to wake up and listen to it.
You're going to dress up?
I'm not going to dress up. Well, I might wear a Travis Kelce themed. I got my gear for Travis, mm-hmm. but I am, for the first time, I want a Travis Kelce song. I want one so bad. So I am excited.
To listen to the Alchemy?
Mm-hmm. Just to see if we get one, because that's the world that I'm caught up in Taylor Swift right now. And I'm excited
for
that.
Okay, well.
Not that should matter.
You might.
The tracks... If this was real, something leaked, I have no idea. Britney said she wasn't going to listen to it, but the fans that did listen to this leaked track called The Alchemy said that it's clearly about Travis Kelce because lyrics have references to being the greatest in the league, cheers, trophies, winning streaks, warming benches, teams, and touchdowns.
I'm in. Hopefully that's it and that's true, and I will be jamming out that whole way home tomorrow at about 6:37.
Thing that leaked today was real.
If it's real.
I'm excited.
One can hope. One can hope, right? I like the idea.
Anyway, expect the internet to be broken tomorrow. Okay.
Just going to happen. And keep it... Kelce adjacent, Jason Kelce.
This is great. This story?
Losing his super.
This story is unbelievable. Since we've got a minute, this story of Jason Kelce. Mm-hmm. So they most recently did a New Heights podcast live from Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And from the arena, their basketball arena, they both went to the University of Cincinnati. In the Travis Kelce or the Kelce documentary that came out in Prime about a year ago, there is this scene where Jason loses his Super Bowl ring, the one he won here in Minneapolis. And his wife, always says he misplaces things all the time.
Right.
And so as a joke, which I think is the stupidest joke you could do for this live in
the
arena
Cincinnati,
podcast.
Cincinnati chili is a thing.
Yeah, because Cincinnati chili is a big thing. They took an entire, like those ball pits that you'd have at like any type of amusement park for kids, but they filled it with Cincinnati chili. And the contest was you have to go in there and dig through it and find his Super Bowl ring that he put inside of a sock in this massive pit of chili.
That's kind of funny.
Nobody found it. Oh. The staff didn't find it. Oh. Nobody found it. It went in. He believes that it is in a landfill somewhere in Philadelphia right now.
It went in a drain.
It went down some sort of drain. It's gone. His Super Bowl ring is nowhere to be found.
Why would they use something fake? Oh, my gosh.
And so now he's got an insurance claim out.
Oh, my gosh.
For the ring, which I don't know if you're going to get that insurance claim. If you're stupid enough to throw your $500,000 ring into a pit of chili.
Okay, that's really funny, though.
Yeah, that's totally Jason. It's Jason to the J, if that's okay. Even a term. So
it's Cincinnati chili.
I heard it's
comes
amazing.
On. Well, I remember.
Spaghetti, isn't it?
It comes on a bed of spaghetti, and it has like cinnamon in it and nutmeg. I had to try it because I was traveling for work back in Carlson Days through Cincinnati and U.S. Airways, and literally tried it, and I'm like,
good?
No.
It's an acquired taste.
It's an acquired taste because it has cinnamon and it's on spaghetti. I mean, it's cinnamon.
If the cinnamon was out of there, if it was just chili and spaghetti, that's a pretty good
mix.
The
cinnamon is strong. Ooh. So it's a whole different thing because I'm like, everyone talks about Cincinnati chili.
Yeah. But, so this was all based off what they did was for their live performance. They did, you remember Revenge and the Nerds when they did if it's okay to say this, nerds versus the athletes, the jocks? Well, they did academics versus athletes. And they did a whole, Jason, Kelsey, Travis, they did this whole thing with students from University of Cincinnati where they competed against each other.
Fun.
And one of those was that, and he lost his Super
Bowl.
That's
absolutely hysterical. I kind of love that.
I love those two. I love them. They're great.
I know it. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, you're still mad about casting, and I watched something you guys can't stop talking about. Hey, everybody, it's Lori and Julia for Hammernix Flooring Solutions, and they are having the big Karistan sale right now. It's Karistan Month at Hammernix, and right now you can receive up to $1,000 in American Express gift card with your Karistan order of carpet, luxury vinyl, engineered hardwood, or Belalux laminate.
What we could buy with
the gift card.
Yes.
Discover the hottest trends in flooring, including longer length wide plank flooring.
And the Karistan brand, that they also make this Pet Smart carpeting that has this special so that it repels
the pet smells, urine smells.
Yeah,
if you're a person who
happens.
Likes to have dogs and puppies, but also the hottest trends, lighter tones, white washes that you've never seen before. Huge savings right now at Karistan Month going on at Hammernix Flooring Solutions. Bassett Road and 169 in New Hope, in St. Paul on Rice Street, and in Hudson off of Carmichael in 94. Lori's getting pictures of her sister's dog, Bindi, that we think should be a star.
Oh, yeah, that dog should be a star. She's fresh from getting a blowout at the Lopsa Opsa Salon in Ronald, Washington.
The Lopsa Opsa Salon?
No, but in Ronald, Washington.
Population 289.
Oh, my gosh. The Lopsa Opsa Salon. Oh,
that's funny. Rosemary said, hello, chicas. If you haven't had windshield time, give a listen to Carol Burnett on Mark Maron's WTF podcast.
She was on.
I heard her on with Julia Louise Dreyfus because Julia does interviews with older women, you know. She had like 8 episodes last year with Sally Field. They're really great. And of course, you know, Carol Burnett did win a Lifetime Achievement Award from the SAG Awards when we were there.
Yes.
And we were sat as close as I am to my computer, Grant, from her, and she was quite lovely.
Yeah, she was
so
amazing.
We did see her like 7 or 8 years ago. She was in a green suit and just couldn't have been more delightful and charming.
Oh, we were blown away.
And easygoing. Mm-hmm. All right, so I started last night. We started Fallout. First of all, we got a ginormous TV last night.
Oh, what'd you get?
When you don't want to wear glasses and you can't see the TV anymore, you just buy a bigger one, apparently. And you can't see the puck in a hockey game. So we took our big one downstairs in the cave.
The one you thought was big.
I did think so. And now we got just 65. Jeff wanted to go. He looked at it. And I'm like, no, that would take up our entire room. But Samsung has a new OLED or whatever.
OLED. Those Samsung OLEDs are so nice.
We're kind of excited because I have the LG OLED.
They're both good.
So those pictures are really fun. So we only could get one hooked up last night and watch Shogun. just love that damn show, but watch Fallout. Oh. Wow. It's so different than anything. Show. And there's so many stories going on. I'm only on my first episode, so I would say.
And that first one is a very much a setup episode.
Yes. Of course. It's you're like, meeting people from different.
Don't give up after one episode.
I'm not going to, because both of you didn't think I'd like it.
Yeah.
So I just want to say, if you're like me and just are a little more.
Not so sci-fi.
Not so sci-fi. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you. And short, you could try it.
Yeah.
It's, I really, we both
it's
really.
It's a compelling story.
And all those stories kind of come together perfectly. And I feel like what's great about this show is that there's endless opportunity. This show.
And it's based on a video game.
It's based on a video game.
Brittany played, you've played.
No, I've actually never played the video game. I know a lot about it. I'm not a video game player per se. The ADD kicks in and I get bored in 15 minutes.
I understand.
You probably know.
I didn't even try. My kids tried to get me, Mom, we don't need a Blu-ray DVD player. We can just do it on the Xbox.
That's a good
one. And
way
I
to
tried
get
to use the controller and I'm like, no, we can't.
Yes. But yeah, no, it's the greatest part about this show is that you don't even, just kind of like the Last of Us, you don't need to know the game. You can go in and you can just kind of follow these. There's a couple characters, two or three characters that you follow their stories. They all kind of eventually intertwine in a fun way or interesting way, I could say. And I've got one episode left tonight to watch. Lori, what are you, down to last two?
We have two episodes left.
And I'm just, like you said, Walton, what's his last name?
Goggins. He's from Justified. Boyd Crowder. Very memorably unjustified.
Yes, and he is carrying that over very well, I believe, into Fallout. He's doing a very
good
job.
He's amazing. We were so taken with
him. It's his first leading role.
I'm really excited.
Which is a surprise to me. Sorry to know.
I mean, he was in The Righteous Gemstones. He's got kind of a hilarious part in that, but he's always been a supporting character actor, and so it's kind of cool that he's got this lead role, even though in half of it, he's quite ghoulish looking. He plays a character called the Ghoul.
Yeah, I was going to say he's a ghoul. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I can't. And it's on Prime, and I'm not a sci-fi gal, and I really am excited about it. So that's kind of fun. One, the other one that I wanted to remind people, if you've never watched it, because not everybody had FX, Killing Eve is now on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
That show,
great show.
And not a lot of episodes, maybe like 10 to 12 a season, maybe?
It was only like six episodes.
Oh my gosh, but we loved it.
It was a BBC production.
Yeah, that's a great show with Sandra Oh, and she's going to be on the couch tonight with Stephen Colbert, I believe.
Mm.
And Zendaya is going to be on with Jimmy Kimmel, Grant.
Oh. Yeah, Sandra Oh is in The Sympathizers, the HBO show with Robert Downey Jr.,
which they said tried too hard and did nothing. How are you feeling about it?
It's actually gotten good reviews.
Have you watched it?
I haven't watched it yet, but the overall on that, people like it. You got to be careful when these first reviews come out. One critic for Variety or The Hollywood Reporter and Deadline, which are all owned by Penske Media.
Yes.
It's kind of like
they could ruin something without you even trying it.
Yeah, like there were some brutal reviews about the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. And, you know, Casey and I liked it. And the whole theater applauded when it was over.
Right.
It was just fun. So, yeah, it is kind of, you got to watch that. And I remind Casey of that when he relies so much on critics.
Yes, he
for
does.
Watching something.
Leonard Maltin and his big old book comes to mind.
Maltin.
I like Maltin.
Yeah.
I'm Roger. Never going to have to be. Will you still correct me when we're in our next life?
Probably. Only if it's
really bad.
Only if it's like
really bad.
Yeah. Like
really
when
bad.
You said Greg Allen today and you're talking about Greg Allman.
You said post Chrome.
Yeah, I know.
Post cologne.
I like that.
Sounds like a cologne.
Okay, so yesterday you were kind of like,
No, we're going to give short shrift for this if we start
right,
this.
Then we aren't going to do it right now.
But I am shaken and outraged to the core that Jennifer Lawrence has been cast to play Ava Gardner in the Scorsese biopic about Frank Sinatra. The more I think about it, I don't care. Is Anne Hathaway busy?
Okay.
Is Ava Mendez busy?
You went crazy when Nicole Kidman was cast as Lucy against Javier Bardem?
Yeah. And did we watch that show? No.
Because it was bad.
That's right.
It didn't have anything to do with her. It was so, that was so bad.
I don't know.
I like Jennifer Garner. Lawrence.
She's so all American and beautiful in that way. And Ava Gardner is this brunette, exotic looking vixen.
Who was born in Philadelphia or Pittsburgh.
I know. But don't forget that Ava Gardner and Frank Sinatra get arrested on their first date. He's married and she continued to bang some guy throughout their whole relationship that didn't speak English. I mean, she was... I don't know.
You don't think Jennifer Lawrence can portray that?
I don't know.
I love how upset you get, though, about the casting. Yeah. I do, too.
You like the cat. And Leonardo as Frank Sinatra? Give me Chris Pine.
Yeah, I can't find those
Leonardo
two.
DiCaprio. That's because it's Martin Scorsese, and he doesn't do anything without Leo.
You're right.
I mean, it's like Leo's my guy.
Chris Pine and Anne Hathaway, are they busy, Marty?
I like those two better. I just don't see... I can't picture Jennifer and Leo... I'm sure they can give us chemistry, but I'm not picturing that type of chemistry with those.
That's why they're actors.
It has everything that Marty likes. I mean, as far as like he loves exploring the Italian American experience and Frank Sinatra, good looking dames, you know, mobsters, casinos, dude friendships, infidelity, Vegas, the Rat Pack.
Leo's
going to have to get in shape and get some Botox.
Yes, he's going to have to get in shape.
Leo needs to work out.
Yeah, and Jennifer Lawrence is just a total miscast as Ava Gardner. I'm just going to say it. I was wishy-washy yesterday.
No, you really weren't.
Okay.
You were not even wishy-washy. All right. You were this adamant yesterday. You weren't here.
I'm upset.
She's upset. She's writing to Reese Witherspoon right now.
I just don't think she's ready to play her.
You heard it here.
Lori's upset. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.